Welcome. I'm Chaplain Phil Mihelic, Senior Catholic Priest here at Fort Sam Houston, Greater San Antonio, Texas. I'm glad that you're able to join us as we begin a new series called Faith in the Crosshairs. In these programs, it will be my effort to answer questions which are sent in from our men and women in uniform about their Catholic faith, or any matter pertaining to faith at all. The vision is that we plan to run Faith in the Crosshairs as a series through which you will have access on the internet worldwide. If you should have any questions or concerns that you would like addressed in future programs, you may email them to me at philip.a.mahalic@us.army.mil. This email address will also be on your screen at the end of this presentation. If you should have any personal issues that you would just like to address privately, send them to me, and we'll keep them in a confidential fashion. Now, I've said this before, and I will say it again. There are no silly or dumb questions that you may have about our faith, except the one you have that you do not ask. For many of you, being deployed is a very special time in your life. You are under pressures and stresses that you have never known before. And whether you realize it or not, you are now a significant part of the history of our country. At times you will be so busy that you won't have a moment to think, but at other times you will experience what I will call quiet time. This is time that you will have to reflect on such things as, where am I headed? What am I all about? What does God want me to do with my life? And I could keep on going with the questions, but I think you get the idea of where I'm headed. Use this time as a very valuable time, as a gift from God that it is. As you are deployed, you will have time to take a look at where you've been, where you are now, and where you are headed for the future. Take advantage of this marvelous opportunity which you have right now. There is an old expression which says, my name is opportunity. I may only knock but once. Take advantage of me, for I may never pass this way again. In thinking about a topic for this week's discussion, I found myself drawn to a certain passage in Matthew. It is Matthew 14, 22-33. Let me share it with you and how I think it pertains to all of us as far as difficult times are concerned. You know, when things get tough, you may have only a few choices. You can quit, give up, and just let everything drop. You can just do nothing and let things happen as they may. Or you can hang in there, keep on fighting, and give it all that you have got. Naturally, no matter how bad things get, I'm going to encourage you to hang in there and keep on fighting. None of us was created to be a quitter. Let me share this sacred scripture with you and then talk about how other men and women in uniform deal with adversity and stress. This is a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. After Jesus had fed the people, he made the disciples get into a boat and precede him to the other side. After he dismissed the crowds, he sent the apostles away And then after doing so, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When it was evening, he was there alone. Meanwhile, the boat, already a few miles offshore, was being tossed about by the waves. The wind was against the boat. During the fourth watch of the night, when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. "It is a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. At once Jesus spoke to them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter said to him in reply, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water. Walk on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw how strong the wind was, he became frightened. And being frightened, he started to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught Peter. And he said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" After they got back into the boat, the wind died down. Those who were in the boat did him homage, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. What strikes me most about this reading is that it shows us that even Jesus got tired and at times just needed to get away and simply take time for himself. Notice, though, no matter how bad things got for him, he never quit. But even Jesus at times needed time to be by himself. Let me start out my thoughts for today with a little story. It seems that there were two frogs who jumped into a bucket in their search for food. Both were surprised to find themselves sinking into thick, rich cream. After floundering in the cream for a few minutes, the first frog yelled, "We've had it. We'll never get out of this mess alive." "No sense in giving up just yet," reasoned the second frog. "We'd only drown. Keep on kicking, keep on kicking." "I can't," said the first frog. "It's no use. We can't swim out of here. We can't jump out of here. There is just no hope." "Don't give up," urged the second frog. "Keep kicking, you can do it." "No, I can't," the pessimistic frog said, as he sank slowly to the bottom of the bucket. The second frog shook his head sadly, but he kept kicking and kicking and kicking. Hours later, just when he thought he couldn't kick another stroke, the cream around him began to thicken. Soon he was sitting in a bucket of rich, thick butter. One of the secrets of life is to look for the opportunities in every bad situation. In our lives, adversity seems inevitable, but it is seldomly permanent. The mistakes we make are the stepping stones of growing more mature and successful, of becoming the persons that our God has created us to be. Just prior to our gospel reading today, Jesus had fed 5,000 people with nothing but 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. The people had been so amazed by this that sacred scripture tells us they wanted to make him king, not so that they might serve him, but so that he might serve them. His apostles, too, were leaning in that direction. They were still thinking of Jesus in political terms. So Jesus did the only thing that he could do. He dismissed the crowds, and then notice what sacred scripture says he did with his apostles. He made them. He forced them to get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side. So the apostles, in obedience, set out in a boat to the other side, and Jesus went to pray. You know, I find it very comforting to realize that even Jesus had days where he just needed some time to himself. I think we've all experienced those hectic days where a certain soldier has a personal problem, where we've been tasked with more things than 10 people can handle, and the commander's having a bad day. It's times like this where we have to realize that we just need to take time for ourselves. You know, you can't help everyone else hold it together if you haven't got it together yourself. Well, it would be my guess that this was the kind of day Jesus was having. He knew he just needed to be alone for a while to pray. Sure enough, while Jesus was praying, a storm blew up, and the apostles out in the boat, caught in the storm, were terrified. They were certain that they were about to sink, when all of a sudden, there was Jesus, and get this, he was walking toward them on the water. Can you imagine? Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. Now, so many times in sacred scripture, we may see something and ask ourselves, did that really happen? Did Jesus really walk on the water? I think it seems fairly obvious that whatever it was, something did happen, which caused a response on the part of the apostles. A basic rule for Catholics when looking at sacred scripture is not to ask, what does it say? What does it say? It says that Jesus walked on the water. But you know what? That's not really the important question. As Roman Catholics, we don't ask, what does it say? We ask the question, what does it mean? And that opens a whole new world of significance for us. The basic meaning is that this action is the sign and symbol of what Jesus always does for his people. When the wind is contrary, and we are in danger of being overwhelmed with the storms of life, Jesus will always be there for us. There are times, deployed and away from home, that for all of us right now, life can become a desperate struggle. It can become a desperate struggle with our circumstances, with our temptations, with our loneliness, with our sorrows, and with our decisions. At times such as this, no one needs to be alone. Jesus comes to us across the storms of life with hands outstretched to be with us as he says, take heart and have no fear. Take heart and have no fear. Well, that's easy to say, but fear is a common thing in life. We all know it. It is like that fear or sinking feeling we get inside, just as the apostles felt. That sinking feeling right in the pit of our stomachs. That's what the apostles were feeling. And it is a feeling that we have all had. It's that sinking feeling we get when we're waiting for the doctor's report on tests that have been run. It's that kind of feeling we get in Afghanistan or Iraq when a convoy is late in arriving. It's that sinking feeling we get when we hear that an IED exploded close by and not knowing how many or who were hit. It's that sinking feeling of having a loved one deployed and not having contact for long periods of time. There are all kinds of fears in our lives, and like Peter, sometimes we just want to cry out, "Lord, save me. I feel like I am about to go under." Life is something that was meant to be lived. We can play it safe. We can remain on the sidelines and perhaps never be hurt. But we will also never grow to become the person our God has created us to be. Just look at Peter. He wanted more out of life than just sitting in a boat. He wanted to be with Jesus in an active and fulfilling way. But isn't it odd that when Peter and Jesus both got back into the boat, Jesus seemed to rebuke him as he said to him, "O you of little faith." The fact is, though, Peter did have faith, and he did the best he could with it. As soon as Jesus said to him, "Come," Peter did. Notice that the other 11 sat in the boat. It was only Peter who responded to the invitation of the Lord. Peter was looking for an opportunity to grow, to become that person he knew God had created him to be. Somewhere, at some time along the way, Peter had learned, as we must all learn too, that it doesn't matter how many times you fall down. What is important is that you get up one more time than you fall and just keep on trying. You know, stepping out of the boat for Peter was really a risk, but it was also the beginning of his greatness. Along the way, Peter discovered that you don't have to be great to start, but you do have to start to be great. There is no question about it. It took courage on Peter's part. And we must remember, courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is going ahead despite the fear. For an instant, Peter throws caution to the wind, takes a really big risk, and lets his feet take him where he knew his heart was being called. I don't think Peter ever thought of himself in terms of success. I think he thought of himself in terms of growth. It never seemed to concern him that his life gave him some very difficult problems with which to deal. It didn't seem to matter to him whether he had a tough problem to deal with or not, but rather what mattered was whether it was the same problem he had had yesterday. There were no guarantees for Peter, nor for the apostles. They were simply men who were called to greatness, one step at a time. Storms and risks are a basic part of life, but in those difficulties we can find the greatest of opportunities. Just think about it. If Michelangelo wanted to play it safe, he would have painted the floor of the Sistine Chapel. But then where would be the greatness? We have all been called to greatness and have responded by volunteering to serve our country. We are also being called to greatness by Jesus. Believe it or not, Jesus is calling us all to walk on water, so to speak, to take a chance, take a risk, step out in faith, and to become that person our God has created us to be. Let me leave you with this thought and prayer. Let us tonight look back across the span between dawn and darkness, and to our conscience say, because of a kind word or deed, the world and the church are better that we lived this day. God bless all of you, and God bless America.